BZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app. This is a special presentation from Civic Media News. From our Civic Media studios in Madison and across the state of Wisconsin, this is special coverage of Wisconsin Decides 2024. Here are your hosts, Todd Albaugh and Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome in, everyone, to the world headquarters of Civic Media, a block off the Capitol Square in downtown Madison. This is it. The polls are closed in the state of Wisconsin, but a great reminder from our friends Jay Matinair and Pete Swaba, if you are listening to us on the Civic Media app, and if you're not, why aren't you? You can download it right now at the Apple or Android device. Simply go to your app store, Civic Media. It is free. It takes less than a minute. It's a great way to get your news all evening long. If you're in line in Wisconsin right now, stay there. Our great lawyer and co-host Maggie Dawn tells us, as an attorney, it is your legal right to vote if you're in line right now. So do not go anywhere. Stay in line. Be a voter, because your vote still matters. And stay right here all evening long as I am welcomed by the host of Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8 on the Civic Media Radio Network, our friend, our colleague, Pat Kreitlow. Pat, good evening.
Good evening, and happy no more political ads to all those who celebrate. I'm sorry, no, I'm seeing the first state Supreme Court ads are going to start running here in an hour.
They've already
begun. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. We're done with this cycle. Except for the counting.
Yeah, they certainly are. It's going to be an interesting night, Pat. Of course, many polls have already closed across the country. We're going to get to that in a little while. Lots of races, not just the presidential one, Pat. It's congressional races and also the state legislature up for grabs in Wisconsin.
And I can't wait to talk to Dan Schaefer about that. But spoiler alert, it's because of all those new maps. Everybody who showed up for the Janet Protasiewicz Supreme Court election has made this night possible. Right. It was going to be election night anyway. For a more competitive and maybe more productive legislature, for those folks who might not be following along, the current legislature has been on a 9-month paid vacation to do nothing. You might have made a change in that today.
Absolutely. You spoke to Dan Schaefer, the wonderful Dan Schaefer, our political editor here at Civic Media.
The birthday boy, Dan Schaefer,
and the founder of the Recombobulation Area. Pat, I did my homework. I printed off, I guess I killed a couple of trees.
You printed there, the internet.
This is the great comprehensive guide to every state assembly and state senate race. And the guy who put this
Dan Schaefer.
Nice
senior thesis there.
That's right. Let's head over to our Recombobulation Area all evening long, Dan. Welcome aboard. Great to have you with us. What are you looking for tonight?
Good evening, gentlemen. Happy to be here. Thrilled to be part of Civic Media's election night coverage with the both of you. We're going to be looking at everything up and down the ballot in the Wisconsin State Legislature. For the first time in more than a decade, there is a realistic chance for Democrats to win control of the state assembly. So we're going to be looking at all 99 of those races throughout the night. And then in the state Senate, we're also going to be looking at those races. But only half of the chamber is up this year. So it's not really a realistic opportunity for Democrats to flip that chamber. But every race in the assembly is on the ballot right now. We're going to be looking at every last one.
And you're going to keep us chill and cool all evening into the early morning, because when things get tense, just recombobulate, right, Dan Schaefer?
Exactly. That's what we're here for. We're going to recombobulate Wisconsin tonight.
Nicely done. Absolutely. Look at that, guys. He's a pro with the old broadcasting already, Pat Kreitlow. We said one of the big races that is consequential to Donald Trump and Kamala Harris in the presidential race tonight, North Carolina. And, Pat, I know one of your colleagues at Courier News Service is standing by to update us on that important race.
Yeah, for folks who don't know, Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. Courier Newsroom is our parent company with newsrooms all across the country, including the pivotal swing state of North Carolina. And one of the founding editors there, my friend Billy Ball, for the Cardinal and Pine, the name of the publication out there, is joining us from North Carolina now to tell us how things are like out there. Billy, how are you?
Hey, y'all. I'm doing all right. Every time someone says North Carolina, you got to raise the roof.
It's good to see you. How has the day been like overall there? A lot of enthusiasm about voting?
Yeah, you know, most of the folks in North Carolina, it became clear, were early voting this year. Mm-hmm. So actually, quiet, I would say. After all the noise of the election season, because so many people are early voting, Election Day kind of shows up and it's a little bit quiet.
How much
it still sort of makes me nervous when I just want to see long lines everywhere. But most folks early voted.
What was the role of Helene coming through on voting?
So, you know, we're still figuring that out right now. The numbers are just now coming in. I think one thing that's really interesting that I just saw, and this could play a big part in however North Carolina ends up going at the end of the night in the presidential race. But, you know, about 70% of the vote in Buncombe County, which you might recall, was one of the most devastated areas by Helene. That's Asheville. It's really the progressive Western North Carolina center. And Harris's margins in that area were huge compared to what we saw from Biden 4 years ago. So if Democrats are looking for exciting news to see in North Carolina, they're going to look there in Asheville. But generally what we're hearing is that people still turned out to vote. Regardless of where they were in Western North Carolina, they got there.
But what about that governor's race with Mark Robinson, the Republican who said things like, you know, some people just need killing.
You chose one of the many quotes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of quotes that we can't say on the air.
Exactly.
It's a family programming. You know, I think that, you know, no big surprise that this race with Josh Stein and Mark Robinson was called very early in the night. We can tell already by looking at the results that a lot of people went and voted in the presidential race and for Trump and then just said, I'm not going to vote at all with the Mark Robinson race. They're clearly sitting it out. And you know, I think that was something that we expected.
And then finally, you too, like in Wisconsin, you have a non-citizen referendum on the ballot today.
We do. A non-citizen referendum that is mostly symbolic.
Yes.
Because it was brought out by folks who were trying to juice up the vote from conservative folks who were concerned about non-citizens voting, which they're not. And it's already in our state constitution. They can't. It's in state law, too. So, you know, a triple redundancy, if you want to call it that, with this referendum. So, we're watching that as well. But really, it's just an attempt to get people out who are scared about non-citizens voting, and they shouldn't be.
We have that same kind of nonsense going on here. But we appreciate the update, hearing some good news about the governor's race there. We'll continue to follow the presidential tally. And so glad we got a chance to talk to you, Billy. Thank you so much from the Cardinal and Pine in North Carolina.
Thanks, y'all.
All right. We'll see you.
Pat, great insight there, and great to have the resources of Courier News Service this evening to bring us this national exposure through a Wisconsin lens.
Yeah, we're going to be talking in the next hour with one of my colleagues from Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, and then Kia Vakil, our national correspondent out in Los Angeles, who gets to stay up until the wee smalls, will keep us updated on a national perspective.
Sounds great, Pat. Appreciate it so very much. We mentioned Dan Schaefer, talked to him a little bit earlier, but let's go back over to the recombobulation area. Civic Media's political editor and the founder of the recombobulation area. Dan, help us to put this into perspective. Lots of states have already been called and projected to be called so far. As I look at the national call right now, Donald Trump has 120 electoral votes to Kamala Harris's 99, with so very many states yet to be called. Some results partially in. Of course, Wisconsin polls just closed. A reminder, if you're in line and you're listening to us, stay in line. But first of all, how are you seeing this national race shape up so far?
Well, I think it is largely what we're expecting from some of the early states, right? I think, you know, we're going to expect some of the early calls in some of those deep blue states. We're going to expect some of those early calls in some of those deep red states. I think the two really to focus on early in the night here are North Carolina and Georgia. I think we know that Pennsylvania, obviously a key swing state, but like Wisconsin, they are not able to pre-process absentee ballots until the day of. So I think the two states to really key on for results right now are North Carolina and Georgia. And then we'll get into, you know, once now that polls have closed in Wisconsin, we'll start seeing some of the results here. We'll start seeing some of the results in Michigan and some of the other key swing states as we get into the night.
We look here at the Badger State, Dan, and you're from the Milwaukee area. You know it well. Milwaukee County, the biggest county population-wise, most number of available votes out there in the state of Wisconsin, if you just go county by county. Earlier this evening, there was a little bit of a discrepancy. It seems more is being made out of it by the MAGA Trump folks than really should be. Help us understand what happened in Milwaukee tonight and what's being done to cure it.
Yeah, so we're still getting some reporting and some updates on what exactly happened here. But what it sounds like is there were about 30,000 absentee ballots that were counted, but there was an issue, you know, with some of the equipment there. So they're going to have to recount 30,000 of those ballots. I believe they're bringing in members of the Milwaukee Fire Department to help with the process right now to really try to get that moving. So I think even going into the night, we were expecting something, a late call with those absentee ballots from Milwaukee. Milwaukee is one of many communities in Wisconsin that uses central count. And so we're going to get those results at the end of the night for places like Milwaukee, Green Bay, Kenosha. But really, because of the size of Milwaukee and the volume of the votes there, you know, those are really have the power to tip the scales in a state that is often decided by 10 to 20,000 votes at the end of the day.
But let's be clear that on these tabulator machines, the problem was in as innocuous as it gets, that there was a little door on each machine that hadn't been closed and locked all the way, where the power switch was. But nobody monkeyed with it, because otherwise the machines would have turned off. They did not. Democrats and Republicans on the scene told local media they didn't see anything, you know, nefarious about this. But I regret to inform you that Ron Johnson is again doing Ron Johnson things and has shown up at the Central Count facility to, you know, make some noise about a problem that will probably not have any real impact on the count, but will again feed the beast of conspiracy theorists like Ron Johnson.
Well, as my grandma used to say at the farm, make sure the lid's on the garbage can or the skunks will come call them at night. So, I mean, it's one of those things. Dan Schaefer, we always appreciate you. Keep recombobulating us. Keep us honest as the evening progresses. We thank you so very much. We'll leave you to your tabulations and be back just a little bit while longer. Pat, another big race that we're looking at tonight and following for all of our listeners and viewers. And remember, if you're listening to us on our terrestrial radio stations across the state of Wisconsin, that's fantastic. That's lovely. But if you want to see a former television anchor with a great head of hair and a middle-aged guy with a balding head of hair, tune into our streaming services on the either YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, which is now called X, of course. And you can take a look at us as well, Pat.
But look at how you shamed me. I have not worn a suit coat since I was a TV anchor a million years ago and had to go pick up something today just to keep up with
you. Just for me?
Just for you, buddy.
The Ron Burgundy collection?
That's exactly it. I've kind of outgrown the Ron Burgundy collection. That was a few sizes ago.
You look fantastic. But in all seriousness, there's another great big race here tonight. It's the United States Senate race.
Yes, there is. And, you know, there's some concern there about potential ticket splitting because, again, mentioning Ron Johnson earlier, there were people 2 years ago that voted for Tony Evers and Ron Johnson. And now will there be people in Wisconsin who voted for Kamala Harris and Eric Hovde? One of our reporters, Elizabeth Montemurro, talked to Tammy Baldwin about that, and she said, let's just focus on the issues here. And Savannah Tomei Olson is over at the Baldwin campaign to tell us more about that, I believe.
Civic Media Assistant News Director Savannah Tomei Olson, you are standing by. Savannah, thank you so very much for joining us via phone. What's the feel in the room? How are the Baldwin people feeling after the polls have closed in Wisconsin?
Hey, guys, I wish I had more to tell you, but so far it's mostly just us reporters in the room. They just opened the doors here at 8 o'clock. We have maybe two dozen people who have been let in so far, and it's a long process. As you can imagine, they're being tight with the security. I had a lot of gear, so did many of my journalist friends, but it took a solid 5 minutes to get through a metal detector, have them look through all your bags, every pocket, all that fun stuff. So I imagine it'll take a minute for people to really start to file in, but you can hear Steve Kornacki behind me. They've got the screen on at this point, and they've got the lights turned down, so at least things are starting to get rolling. Earlier in the day, Tammy Baldwin did a string of campaign stops. She wrapped up at UW-Madison's Library Mall. When I've been talking to her staff, they've really been projecting confidence. They say Baldwin has support from really diverse groups, from abortion rights advocates to some Wisconsin farmers, and that's really what they're banking on going into tonight. Now, such a big part of reporting from these election night parties is being able to tell you what the vibe feels like in the room. I can't really tell you that yet. So I look forward to being able to tell you how supporters are feeling. I'm sure at some point we'll have cheers as things are called for Democrats here on TV, but we're just not there yet, guys.
We're just getting going.
We're getting going. Thank you, Savannah Tomei Olson, Assistant News Director for Civic Media News. We appreciate you so very much, Savannah. We'll check in with you very shortly. Right now, it is 14 past the hour of 8 o'clock, and we have a Civic Media projection. At this time, we can tell you that Civic Media is projecting the state of Ohio with all 17 electoral votes has gone for former President Donald J. Trump. Again, the Associated Press calling it just moments ago. This is the area, Pat, where there was some really tangential outside hope after that Iowa Seltzer poll came out over the weekend that maybe if, you know, as an outside chance, there's a big Senate race in Ohio. We're going to talk about that with Scott Klug coming up. But, you know, again, maybe it was just that tangential hope.
Yeah, maybe I'm just getting too old and crusty, but I was never buying into it.
you look at the map,
you know, Ohio has gone for Trump, West Virginia has gone for Trump, Florida. There's always the hope for Texas. Texas has gone as well. So a lot of things have gone true to form. The swing states are what we thought they would be, and they're not going to be, I don't think, any surprises from anything that was, you know, well, it could possibly maybe lean this way. It's not going to be that kind of an election. It is that close across the country. What it really means is we'll have to watch, like you said, that Senate race in Ohio and a Senate race in Texas. Those have, you know, a little bit more potential to, you know, flip one way or the other than the presidential one.
Closer to home, Pat Kreitlow here in the state of Wisconsin. Again, a number of school referendums. I know that you folks at Up North News Radio are in conjunction with the Wisconsin Public Education Network. You have them on your show all the time. Lots of referendums. Let's touch on that quickly before we move on.
Well, very simply, people will wonder, well, why are there hundreds of school referendum? Well, not hundreds. Well, there have been hundreds this year across all of the different elections. And the shorthand for this is that folks hopefully voted yes on the referendums and no on the legislators who set up the conditions to need this many referendums, because they're not holding up their end of the state aid that's supposed to go to public schools. And instead, they're kicking the can to school boards, making them look like the bad guy to have to go to local property taxpayers. It's a terrible system, and it's what led to all the referendums that Jimmy Cusca has been following for us.
Speaking of Jimmy Cusca, Civic Media's very own happens to be a school board member as well in Southwest Wisconsin in Boscobel. Jimmy, thanks for joining us via phone. What are you hearing? What are you seeing of the school referendums early on?
So the big thing is that we're looking at over $4.2 billion in asks from school districts, from local taxpayers, just in this November election. Now, over the course of the full year, school districts have sought over $6 billion total in increasing from local taxpayers. So what we're seeing this year is pretty clear that districts are trying to find ways to patch holes in the budget. The pace of reimbursement from the state aid, that has not kept up with the cost of having a school open. And you're starting to see that disparity this year, especially with the expiration of federal dollars. There's a number of factors going into it, but the low amount of state aid combined with the loss of the federal pandemic dollars has really created a situation for some schools that this referendum cycle is really about keeping the lights on and keeping operations going. Very critical referendums in many school districts, and highlighted perhaps by the $607 million ask by the Madison Metropolitan School District across two referendum questions today.
And let's recall that, I didn't emphasize enough, that these referendums, these are, like you said, to keep the lights on. These are not building new gyms and computer labs and all that. It is for ongoing costs. And when you say $4 to $6 billion in referendums, it occurs to me the state budget surplus this year was somewhere in that $4 to $6 billion range. And I'm not saying the legislature should have spent it all, but they decided to do basically bupkis, you know, for it. They worked out one deal that basically helped a whole lot of voucher schools when there's so much more that could have been done for public schools.
Well, Jimmy, you're standing by. You'll keep watching this, and we'll report in throughout the evening. Thank you so much for all your great hard work. Thanks for being a school board member, of course. Trigvi Olson and I from the Lincoln Project were up during our statewide tour. We stopped and saw Pat along the way. We ended up in the Green Bay Fox Valley area, Pat, had people on that were doing these referendums in De Pere and Ashwaubenon. That's a huge issue in the Fox Valley. It could play an issue in these legislative races as well tonight.
I would hope so, if people understood what the situation was like and who actually caused, you know, that situation to take place. Because of these competitive races, maybe we won't have that issue after the next state budget.
Speaking of Trigvi Olson, our friend and ongoing contributor, he has finally gotten back to his home base out in Washington, D.C. He joins us now from StreamYard. Trigvi, very quickly, how are you doing?
I'm good, gentlemen. How are you?
We're great. Thank you so very much for asking.
Fine, but I mean, isn't it past your bedtime there, old man? I mean,
I could go to bed.
For folks who don't watch regularly, it's a regular feature of who launches the old age joke first from these two people that are roughly the same age.
That's right. But it was a heck of a lot of fun traveling around the state with them.
You're going to be up late, Pat.
And then up early for
thing
folks
is,
who
looking like it's gonna be going till your get up time.
That's true.
If that's the way it's got to be. Thank goodness we've got some great reporters out there who are going to follow that and fill me in when I get back here at 5:59.
Trigby, stand by. We're going to come back to you in just 1 second. Stay on the line. We're going to include you in the discussion. But, Pat, right now I want to roll in one of your great people from Up North News Radio on what's happening in Milwaukee.
Elizabeth Montemurro standing by at the Central Count facility in Milwaukee, where, again, this is where a lot of the activity is going to take place later on as, again, as a Central Count facility. All the ballots are brought there to be counted, unlike other municipalities where they're done in each ward as things go along. So, Elizabeth, let's start first with, you know, what the situation looks like over there. Good evening. What can you tell us?
Good evening. Overall, Pat, I would say it's been relatively calm. And, you know, election officials are saying that this has been a pretty uneventful election day, aside from the recount of the absentee ballots that was announced earlier today. There was no like evidence of tampering or anything. This is just the process working. So I hate to say a little bit boring, but we did have a little bit of activity in here recently.
Well, and I think if you're going to have activity, again, like Ann Jacobs, the chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, has tweeted several times here, the process has worked. You find a mistake, right. You fix the mistake, and then you rectify it. You run all those ballots over again. And from media reports I've seen, that they're well past 40,000 absentee ballots counted now. They clearly must have re-racked the 30, 31,000 that they were at when they discovered the problem with the tabulators. So this will continue on and on, but it will somewhat delay, you know, what the final results are going to be coming out of that Central Count facility. But again, Elizabeth, that's by design. It's a big city. It takes a while to count all those votes, right?
Exactly. And they did call in an all-hands call to City of Milwaukee employees to help with the counting of ballots, which seems to have helped them get a little back on track a little bit. So they're not expecting as big of a delay as they were originally anticipating. So we're just going to sit and watch.
Elizabeth, I appreciate you being there. Stand by, if you will, just for a minute, because I want to bring back our colleague, Trigby Olson, Senior Advisor at the Lincoln Project from Washington, D.C. Trigby, you have a unique perspective. You grew up in River Falls, Wisconsin. For those that might not be regular listeners or viewers, you worked on campaigns such as John McCain's in the past, and then you went around and fought autocracy around the world. You've seen these things. We have reports tonight, Trigby, that, yes, good old Senator Ron Johnson is personally on his way to inspect this, what's happened here at the Central Count in Milwaukee. Again, by Elizabeth's reporting and others, it was just a simple mistake. There's no discrepancy. There's no weirdness in the voting, but these MAGA folks are not going to miss an opportunity to make a mountain out of a molehill.
Well, it certainly is Ron Johnson's right to go down there and see what's happening. I suspect that Ron Johnson mostly is going down there because he wants to be able to get on Fox News and basically blow his own horn. I mean, listen, elections are human endeavors. Somebody forgot to lock those switches. All they're going to do is run the ballots back through the optical scanners. And Ron Johnson and my buddy Scott Walker had a bunch of outrage on Twitter. You know, they're just a bunch of clowns that want to be somebody and are trying to take advantage of this. I'm pretty sure Scott Walker's made some mistakes. If he hadn't, he'd still be governor of the state of Wisconsin, but he got beat by Tony Evers.
Well, remember, it's a win-win for them because they can either say, we found this terrible discrepancy, or they'll say, we went down there and we were assured and we can give our blessing that things are fine. Either way, it's more a publicity stunt than any kind of a safeguard.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for being there. We're going to let you go, but please stay. We'll check back in with you a little bit later. Thank you so much for being there.
And thanks, Elizabeth.
Great reporting, Elizabeth, on the ground there. Trigby, we're running up against the clock. I literally have 40 seconds here. Give us your take so far nationally.
I've said this the first time I was on your show. I'll probably be saying it the rest of the night. The race was always going to be about Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, and we'll see what happens.
There you go. It's all going to boil down. And Trevi said if he had to come down to one state, he trusted Wisconsinites the most. We trust you'll stay with us. Pat Kreitler, Trevi Olson, Dan Schaefer is in the recombobulation area. This is Wisconsin Decides 2024 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
This is a community reminder from Buzz of the North. There's a free kids movie each Thursday at the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Community Library located right in Hayward, and that
This is a special report from ABC News, your voice, your vote. I'm Dave Packer. As polls continue to close, we have new projections. Based on our exit poll, ABC News projects that Donald Trump will win in South Carolina, Arkansas, and West Virginia. These and other non-battleground states are falling as expected in our projections, which means, as ABC News political contributor Steve Roberts,
if the polls all fall the way they've been tending, it is going to come down entirely to Pennsylvania.
ABC's Matt Gutman is there.
Some waiting hours to cast their ballots in this must-win state for Trump and Harris.
Thank you for coming out.
Absolutely most important election of my lifetime.
Many residents in Bellwether Bucks County focusing on inflation.
You cast your ballot, what are you thinking about?
The economy.
Outside Scranton, voting delayed in Luzerne County. An election official was late.
In Florida, based on our exit polling, ABC News projects a ballot measure to legalize recreational marijuana in the state will fail. This is ABC News.
The Packers make a trade. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The NFL trade deadline was today, and the Packers send Preston Smith to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a 7th-round pick. The Steelers will also pick up the tab on Smith's salary. The veteran linebacker, who's had his role reduced this season in Green Bay, turns 32 later this month. College basketball, the Wisconsin men's basketball team opened up their season last night with an 85-61 win over Holy Cross in Madison. Head coach Greg Gard asked if he's determined who his starting five are going to be.
That was my main message to him tonight. As we go on this journey over the next five and a half months, we have to be together because it's going to be different people on different nights. Who starts, in my mind, I've never talked about it and made a big deal of who is starting. Everybody knows they need to be ready.
NBA, the Bucks battled but let it slip away in the final minute, losing in Cleveland 116-114. The Bucks host the Utah Jazz on Thursday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is a community reminder from Buzz of the North. There's a free kids movie each Thursday at the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Community Library located right in Hayward, and that happened.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some leftover showers this evening, mostly cloudy overnight and lows in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds and cooler, highs in the upper 40s. Around 50 degrees and a mostly sunny sky for Thursday. Currently 40 degrees.
This is a community reminder from Buzz of the North. There's a free kids movie each Thursday at the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Community Library located right in Hayward. And that happens Thursday from 10:30 a.m. until 12:30, and this is a weekly event, happens each Thursday. Again, a kids movie at the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Community Library in Hayward each Thursday from 10:30 until 12:30. Community reminder for you from the Buzz of the North.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Bunny Minute and a quick hack for setting and reaching a money goal. Try the SMART system for organizing your approach. S is for specific. What exactly is the goal? I want to save a down payment to buy my first house. M is for measurable. How will you know when you're done? I want to save $50,000. A is for achievable. Well, I'm going to have to cut spending in a few places, but I can save $1,000 a month. R is for relevant. Raising my kid in a home that we own is important for me and for her. I want her to grow up in the same place if we can afford it. And T is time. How long is it going to take? I think I can do this in about 4 years. Thinking through each of those letters is a great way to set yourself up for success when you're making money plans. For more tips on saving more and spending less, head on over to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will discuss election results. We will discuss whether or not we have election results. I hope you'll join us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 11. This is Civic Media's special coverage of Wisconsin Decides 2024. Once again, Todd Albaugh and Pat Kreitlow.
Good evening, everyone, from downtown Madison, a block off the Capitol Square, the Civic Media World Headquarters. Welcome to Wisconsin Decides 2024, along with Pat Kreitlow, guest or co-host, I should say, tonight, and the host of Up North News Radio every morning on Civic Media from 6 until 8. Patrick, it's been a busy night so far. I can tell folks quickly, if you're just tuning in, Donald Trump leads in the projected, keyword projected, Electoral College race, 178 to 99. Lots of states still voting. If you're in line in Wisconsin, I know there's been reports of some very long lines. If folks are still in line in Wisconsin, do not get out of that. You're entitled legally to vote. So make sure people stay in line. And of course, the Wisconsin right now, the polls are technically closed. Some of those results are coming in already. And right now, with 10% of the votes in Wisconsin, Donald Trump leads 53% to 45%. But the important part, and Pat,
what is the significant part of that? What does it mean?
Nothing really.
Nothing. Nothing.
because if you look at where those votes are coming from, a lot of them is Waukesha County, as my granddad would say, Pertner half counted, almost halfway there. And Dane County only has 18%. So lots and lots of votes to go in Wisconsin.
Right. This is not a sports event where somebody's going to score more. All the votes have been cast.
Yes.
We're just counting them, and it doesn't matter till they're all in.
Speaking of breaking news, Pat, down in Milwaukee, you've got some.
Elizabeth Montemurl joins us again from the Central Count Facility at the Baird Center to give us an update. Elizabeth, what's new?
Well, we had Senator Ron Johnson appear with the state Republican chair, Brian Schimming, a little bit ago. They are just here as observers, but they did request, it appeared that they seemed to request to see what was going on with the absentee balloting count earlier today, which the Milwaukee Election Commissioner reminded them that there is a formal process for open records, and this is not the appropriate place for that. And also reminded Senator Johnson of Wisconsin state law that by law in Wisconsin, we cannot start counting absentee ballots prior to Election Day. So it was just a friendly reminder to some election observers.
To put it mildly, to put it very kindly, Elizabeth, thank you for that. So let's emphasize a couple of things. Again, Ron Johnson doing Ron Johnson things, not knowing what the law is, making the case that something had been amiss when it was Republicans in the legislature that stymied a bill that would have allowed these ballots to be processed one day earlier. And I cannot let this go without mentioning that Brian Schimming and Ron Johnson were part of a fake elector's plot who overturned the 2020 election. Right. They're not bringing a truckload of credibility to this process. So they claim to be observing. We're going to observe them and their messaging and not over amplify anything conspiratorial that they want to bring up without any form of evidence whatsoever.
Who always brings a truckload of experience and credibility is Civic Media's own Terry Barr, award-winning journalist. She is there on location at the victory, or we'll see if it's a victory party or not. They always call it a victory party, Pat, whether you win or lose,
yes,
right?
Yes.
She is there for Eric Hovde's party tonight for the race for U.S. Senate. Terry, good evening to you. What's the room feel like there at the Hovde event, and what do you know?
Well, Todd and Pat, the doors, as I think we're all saying this, really just opened. There is a small gathering at this point. Eric Hovde is here at the Edgewater in Madison. He did walk around and shake a few hands with his volunteers to thank them. As you mentioned, he is running for Senate as the Republican candidate. It's another attempt after losing the nomination to former Governor Tommy Thompson, and of course, then Thompson went on to lose to Senator Tammy Baldwin. Now, one of the big personal issues for Hovde is his wealth, with the GOP recruiting Hovde to run because he could largely fund his own campaign. Now, the latest polls, at least, are showing that it's a toss-up, and Hovde is saying he's feeling pretty optimistic. Take a listen.
My race is going really well. We're charging hard. If we win in Wisconsin, they're done. I got into this race for one reason. I love our country. But what has happened in our country the last 4 years? Think of the craziness that's happened into our country. What is right has become wrong, and what is wrong has become right.
All right, and I want to mention to you, as you kind of alluded to earlier, to watching the numbers come in, and all we can do is sort of report what we're seeing as these numbers come in. Right now, there is a small percentage, 12% of the vote from across the state in, and Hovde has 50% of that vote. Baldwin is sitting at 47%, and there is an independent in the race. His name is Phil Anderson. He has 1% of the vote. So we'll keep track of everything going on here, any reaction, any excitement. But again, a very, very small gathering at this point, and a very quiet crowd as well.
Terry Barr, it's always a pleasure to have you along with us. Respect you, appreciate you. Thanks for being there tonight. We will check in with you throughout the evening at the Hovde event at the Edgewater in Madison. Thanks, Terry.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure. Let's bring it in. Is Trigvi Olsen still with us out there in Washington, D.C. on StreamYard? There he is. Trigvi, I want to bring you in to give us a little context and perspective. This is something that you and I talked about as we traveled around, met Pat up in the Chippewa Valley, and then went over to the Fox Valley. This Hovde Baldwin race. Explain to folks a little bit how the transphobic ads against Baldwin may have affected this race, and where the Evers Johnson voters of a couple of years ago may end up.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing of that ad, and it wasn't about the policy and trans as much as it was, if you think about it, the narrative. And the most important piece of that ad was the first three words: Tammy Baldwin has changed. I guess that's four words. And then it went into the issue. And of course, the issue being, you know, all the narrative that's been built up. So that ad really left a mark. She was winning pretty comfortably at that point. You know, Wisconsin's going to be close. You know, the exit polls, I was doing some numbering, crunching. You know, the exit polls basically show 49.6 for Harris, 49.2 for Trump.
Wow.
Right. So 0.4%. That would be pretty in keeping what Wisconsin elections have been in the past. I think Biden was 0.5%, something like that. Mm. It, right on or just above or just below the recount threshold. Now, that's the exit polls, right? So, you know, Wisconsin could go either way, although Harris would seem to have a very small, be in slightly better shape.
Yeah, appreciate it.
But, I mean, that could change.
Yep. Stand by, Trivia. Let's bring in, once again, a recombobulation area of our great studio here, Civic Media's political editor and founder of the recombobulation area, Dan Schaefer. Dan, those exit poll numbers, does that say anything to you? What's your first take of that?
You know, the exit polls is not really typically what I'm looking at first and foremost. But I think we do have one interesting data point to take a look at in the early going here, and that is the votes being count in Waukesha County. Obviously, it's been a crucial county over the years, almost to the point of being its own meme of crucial Waukesha County.
Yeah, right.
But the New York Times map is currently showing that 65% of the votes in Waukesha County have been counted. In the presidential race, Donald Trump leads 59% to Kamala Harris's 40%. Now, that 40% number is the key one to look at for Waukesha County. If she reaches 40%, that means she will have done better than Joe Biden did in 2020, and that you know, there's a lot of votes in Waukesha County. 400,000 people live in that county. It's the third most populous in the state. So if you're looking at certain benchmarks to examine early in the evening, if Kamala Harris does any little bit better than Joe Biden does there, that's a lot of votes that are going to come to the Democratic side.
But that 40% really has been like the holy grail of the Waukesha County Democratic Party. And there were conservative outlets on social media that were really gushing today about the turnout in traditionally red areas. And I'm looking at that going, yeah, the turnout's higher in those areas, but you don't know who they're voting for, yeah. As we've seen in all of the red states that had abortion rights on the ballot since the Dobbs decision. We don't know how many of those folks are turning out in traditionally Republican areas and not voting for Donald Trump this time around. High turnout does not mean high Republican output.
Yeah, certainly the case. I just want to check. I believe Maggie Dawn of the Maggie Dawn Show is going to be joining us here at the studio shortly. Is that correct? So very good. We're making way for her here at the desk. Always a pleasure to have Maggie with us from the legal perspective. But Dan, from your perspective, looking at the numbers, crunching them, you know this state better than anybody else. Any other results that you're seeing thus far? What are we into it? 40 minutes after the polls close. Anything else that our viewers, our listeners should be aware of thus far?
Results-wise, we're very early here in most of the counties. Waukesha seems to be ahead of most places around the state in their counting of ballots. And one of the things that I'm going to be looking at throughout the night is which cities have central count, meaning that they report all of their absentee ballots all at once, and which communities do not. So, you know, some of the central count communities that we'll be focusing on later in the evening, that includes Milwaukee, of course, but that also includes places like Green Bay and many other Brown County communities, Kenosha, other Kenosha County communities, a couple other places throughout the state. So those will be later in the night. And I think earlier in the night, we're going to be focusing more on places in and around Madison, southwestern Wisconsin, and in that, you know, in and around that third congressional district. Obviously, some very swingy regions in Wisconsin. We'll be able to kind of get a sense of where things are headed based on some of those early returns there.
Dan Schaefer, keep recombobulating. We'll step back in with you in just a moment. But right now, joining us here at the Civic Media Wisconsin Decides 2024 desk, our very own host of the Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon from 2 until 4. She is also an attorney. She is a wonderful person and insightful as ever. Maggie Dawn, welcome to the desk. How are you this evening?
Excited, nervous, yeah, but right? Very thankful for the lovely introduction, Todd. It's great to be with you and our colleagues here at Civic Media. What an exciting evening this is.
It is. Help us understand what's happening down Milwaukee County as a lawyer, as an attorney who knows Milwaukee like the back of her hand. Is there anything to what's happened down in Milwaukee with having to retabulate or rescan some of these ballots down there?
Listen, in every election, there are these sorts of issues that occur. The type of particular issue that occurs from election to election will change, but I would be remiss if I did not quote from what was the federal district court decision from the 2020 election. And in that case, the Trump-appointed judge said this about what I'm going to call election issues that occur every cycle. The existence of these sorts of issues and the implementation of a large election are hardly surprising, especially one conducted statewide and involving more than 3.2 million votes. But issues of mere administration of a general election do not mean that there has been not been a general ballot or a general election. What this artful language from the court means that these sorts of issues are not unusual, though, again, the issue from election to election may change. None of this ultimately impacts the validity of the count or the ultimate call of the election. So I think it's really important for people to keep in mind there are always these sorts of, may I use the word, glitches, if you will.
Yes, and there always have been.
Yes, that's the thing, in every election.
And the whole reason this is called, you know, the big lie is that everybody knew that these things happened, but somebody, after losing an election, decided to lie about them and say, these glitches are clearly indicative of something wrong. No, these are the things that happen when you're counting tens and hundreds of millions of votes around a country.
Yeah. Pat, Maggie, stand by. I'm going to come back to you in just a moment. I want to get some breaking news here, but also before we go to Stuart J. Waddles in our news bureau as well. According to Reuters here this evening, there have been a number of hoax, emphasize this, hoax bomb threats, many of which appeared to originate from Russian email domains, were directed this afternoon and this evening at polling locations in four battleground states, including Georgia, Michigan, Arizona, and right here in Wisconsin, as Election Day voting is underway, according to the FBI. Quote, none of the threats have been determined to be credible thus far. Let me repeat that. None of the threats have been determined to be credible thus far, according to FBI in a statement. We will update you this as this breaking news carries out, Pat, but certainly disturbing as we see this.
All right. With us now is a member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission and the Keep Our Republic Wisconsin Advisory Council to tell us a bit more about, you know, what we can take in from the elections and what we can glean from it.
Yeah, absolutely. Is Marge with us on the StreamYard now?
Yes, she is.
All right, very good. Marge, how are you this evening?
I'm fine. Thank you very much for inviting me on.
It's our pleasure. Tell us what you're seeing as a Wisconsin Elections Commissioner, as particularly what happened in Milwaukee this afternoon, this evening. Anything that worries you or causes you concern?
No, I think Maggie was exactly right. I think things just happen. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate the fact that the clerk was quick enough to say, we're just going to run them all again so that there's no question that those ballots were counted appropriately. I live in a small county. So today I drove around to six of the municipalities within the county to find out, you know, what was going on, how were they all doing? And everybody was very busy early in the morning. There was a very large turnout. There was many new registrations. There was a large absentee ballots that they needed to count throughout the day. But everyone said that everything was going very, very well in spite of the kind of the increased volume of not only absentee ballots, but actually the people coming in and coming in not early, but having a line at the time that elections started. So I thought everybody that I talked to was doing very well, and I think the entire state is going that way.
Commissioner, hang on just one moment. I want to come back to you if you have a minute. But first of all, I want to go to our news reporter down on the WRJN in Racine and Kenosha. Stuart J. Waddles is standing by via phone. Stuart, always do a great job following those things for us. Give us your sense of, you've been following tonight for us, voter turnout in Wisconsin. We heard in some municipalities it could be near or exceeding record highs. What do you have for us, Stuart?
Yeah, it's high in a lot of places, but those early votes that were coming in weren't at those levels that they were from 4 years ago, for obvious reasons that COVID played a part. So the early absentee ballots, as of this morning, the city of Milwaukee had just over 106,000 absentee ballots. That's down about 35% from 2020. So as it was busy today, those early votes that were coming in weren't where they were before.
And if you're looking, are you looking at the whole state or just kind of your neck of the woods there in southeast Wisconsin in terms of voter turnout for us tonight?
Across the state, the number of return ballots was about 20% lower than it was at this point in 2020. Similar percentages in Dane and Milwaukee, some of the bigger ones, but again, not the same early vote numbers that we looked at 4 years ago. They do exceed the totals from 2008, 2012, 2016, but again, because of 4 years ago, we all know the state of where we were at that point. Those numbers just aren't there from where they were 4 years ago as far as absentee.
Stuart, thank you so very much. You're going to be watching this throughout the night. You do a great job there at WRJN in Racine and Kenosha. Stuart J. Waddles. Commissioner Bostelman, hearing that, does that raise how has the early voting gone so far? Has this put a strain on the Wisconsin's election system, or do you feel confident about this early voting and the number of votes cast so far?
I feel confident in what's going on, specifically in talking with the clerks that I talked to today, and just hearing the other things that are happening throughout the state. I am very confident that everything will be counted. Municipal clerks will do everything they can as best as they can to be able to provide the answers, but I know that they will also be thorough and careful to make sure everything goes right.
Marge, let me ask you about the role that you serve with the group Keep Our Republic. We've been talking about that for some time now. It's one of several groups that have sprung up over the past year, bipartisan or nonpartisan groups with a very simple mission, and that is to reinforce the notion that elections across the country, and especially here in Wisconsin, are already fair and safe and accurate. And I wonder, the extent, can you look backwards now and say the fact that there was such a concerted effort to start groups like this and tour the state and talk to voters, do you think it made a difference in public confidence in this election this time around?
I think it did. I think people were listening. I wanted to be involved because I was a clerk for 24 years, and listening to the things that were being said weren't true, and I knew they weren't being true. And I wanted to make sure that in my confidence as to how well elections in Wisconsin are run, they're so decentralized. There are the volunteers who work as poll workers are people who are in our communities, people we trust. And I just wanted to make sure that I was willing to state that and make sure that people understood that it is true. Our elections are fair and they are safe. And our workers are very conscientious, making sure they do things right.
Do you know, I think one of the things that resulted from that effort to instill and improve public confidence is that it always gets tough to find poll workers. As some retire and opt out of the system, and you're trying to get younger people involved in. And I just have to think that if it hadn't been for this effort of Keep Our Republic and other groups, an already tough situation would have been made worse. Any chance you agree with that, or are you still seeing a near crisis, it seems, in getting poll workers?
I think that some municipalities needed to try hard to get people to work. But I also think that people understanding the responsibility and what was needed through things like the presentations that CORE has done. I think it was important to help people understand that it was okay to be involved, and it was necessary to be involved.
Marge Bosselman, Wisconsin Elections Commissioner and Keep Our Republic Wisconsin Advisory Council member, thank you so very much for being with us this evening, and have a good rest of your night.
Oh, thank you very much.
Our pleasure. And with that, we are at now 9 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock here in Wisconsin, and we have a Civic Media news projection. According to our sources, ABC News projects that the state of Illinois, the state of New York, and the state of Rhode Island have all been called, now projected to be called, for Vice President Kamala Harris. And surprise, surprise, Pat Kreitlow, the state of Louisiana, where our very own Jacqueline, our human resource director here, shares the same state as James Carville, which joined Tribune I in Green Bay. Louisiana has been, or how do they say it? Louisiana has been called for Donald J. Trump.
And it looks like Missouri as well. And it's just a reminder that I've seen offered elsewhere. And again, we'll look to see if anything changes. But so far, every red state that Trump has won is a state that he won in 2020. Mm-hmm. And he still lost the election. So again, you see a lot of those states, a lot of predominantly rural states, southern states have gone for Trump. It is still so early.
Trevi Olson, are you still with us out there in Washington, D.C.? There he is. Trevi is with us. Trevi, can you hear us? Trevi's always inside guy. He's got information. He's got sources. He's working the phones.
I envision he's actually doing 3 TV hits at once and just doesn't know who's talking to him at any given point.
I'm just sitting here looking. I would, the Waukesha numbers and the 40%, it's just going to be, I think it's going to be really close in Wisconsin, because the reality is Trump is doing a little bit better in a bunch of small places, and she's doing better in places like Waukesha. She's also running about 1 point behind Baldwin. So,
Does that surprise you?
I think that the 40% number in Waukesha in the past for Democrats probably would be a winner. I'm not sure that either way, which way it will go, because there's some cities in Dane County where Trump is running just marginally better, and we just have a long way to go. We need to see more. I don't think the I'm not sure the Waukesha numbers tell us as much as was being said. I don't mean to be throwing a cold glass of water on you guys.
No,
but
no,
it's
early.
It's going to be really close, closer than maybe people expected. And we're seeing that in some other places. North Carolina, by the way, I think has been called for Trump.
Really? Wow. All right. Well, that will be certainly news. We'll keep it right here. We will continue to talk to Trigney Olson from the Lincoln Project throughout the night. Pat Kreitlow and I here at the desk. And our very own Dan Schaefer continues to recombobulate. We'll be back with him after this. Hour two, at least the 9 o'clock hour, we'll call it, of Wisconsin Decides 2024. And straight ahead, you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
This is a special report from ABC News, your voice, your vote. I'm Dave Packer. New projections this hour. Based on our exit poll, ABC News projects that Donald Trump will win in Louisiana and Kamala Harris will win in New York, Rhode Island, and Delaware. And based on those exit polls, we project that Democrat Blunt Rochester wins the Senate race in that state. Kirsten Gillibrand keeps her New York Senate seat. ABC News also projecting that Florida's abortion ban referendum will fail, meaning a six-week abortion ban will stay in place. Back to the race for the White House, all eyes on the battleground state of Pennsylvania tonight, and we may not know the winner there tonight. Governor Josh Shapiro pleading with the public and press to be patient, saying counting the votes takes time.
Counting millions of votes accurately, it takes some time. Our goal is to get it right.
Pennsylvania's 19 electoral votes could be the key to winning this razor-close election. This is ABC News.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some leftover showers this evening, mostly cloudy overnight and lows in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds and cooler, highs in the upper 40s. Around 50 degrees and a mostly sunny sky for Thursday. Currently 40 degrees.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
The right-wing nut pastor named Joel Webbin.
What God's word says is be quiet.
I think the 19th Amendment should be repealed.
Hashtag me too. All you have to do is publicly execute a few women who have lied.
What? Let's dissuade women from reporting rapes by putting them to death.
Only a few women. Preferably the really loud ones.
Hey, do I rate?
You absolutely, I was going to get there.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
He's a comedian, a writer, and an actor, and teaches comedy. One of Wisconsin's own. Dobie Maxwell joins me here on Nightlight. Hey, Dobe.
Pete Schwabba, I am Chico. You're the man. Can you hear me? Is my Amish wood-burning computer plugged into the...
You got Amish.
Experience.
Oh, you got to update, buddy. I got gas powered and it's working like a charm. So it'll change your life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app. This is a special presentation from Civic Media News. From our Civic Media studios in Madison and across the state of Wisconsin, this is special coverage of Wisconsin Decides 2024. Here are your hosts, Todd Albaugh and Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back to the Civic Media World Headquarters, a block off the Capitol Square here in Madison, Wisconsin, right across from the Overture Center, right on State Street, Pat Kreitlow. So,